didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. And for the record, we didn't start the fire, or really the fires. As we go to record our podcast for this week, with much of the country up in flames, or at least many of our inner cities up in flames, our lead-in song seemed to me to be sadly appropriate for what the country is going through. Hello, America, and welcome to Of the People. My name is Robert Chernin with the American Center for Education and Knowledge. Thank you for joining us today. So let's jump right to the elephant in the room, shall we? Let's start with what we can all agree on, or at least all should agree on, which is the tragic death of George Floyd. I don't know anyone who has seen that video who does not cringe, does not feel pain, does not see the wrongful death of this man and the rogue cop who committed the act. I understand the anger. I understand the protest. But what I don't understand is the violence and the destruction, which may have started to do with the killing of George Floyd, but certainly has nothing to do with it now. The other thing I'm struck with is the lack of outrage over the other deaths that have, and injuries that have now occurred because of those riots. Dave Patrick Underwood, a black federal officer, was gunned down in cold blood in Oakland. If Black Lives Matters, why doesn't his life matter? There's no outrage. We moved on to another topic. If you are going to protest one wrongful death, it is hypocritical not to protest others. I understand that it doesn't fit the narrative. Look, there's no question that as a country, we need to be having more conversations across the great divide than we're having today, and that a house divided doesn't stand. But we have to first start by being honest about the facts. And the truth is that the riots and the protests have nothing to do with the wrongful death of George Floyd and do not honor his memory. I don't have all the answers, but I sure have a lot of questions. You know what I want to know? I want to know, why doesn't anybody come out and call this for what it is? This is an attempt at anarchy. This is an attempt to overthrow the country. This is an attempt to tear down Western civilization by taking out the leading country of the Western civilized world. I also want to know, when did it become okay to target police officers? When did it become okay to assassinate our law enforcement officials? I will defend the First Amendment and someone's right of free speech till the last breath in my body. It's that important. But that only extends to peaceful protests, not to riots, not to vandalism, and not to destruction of personal property. And the irony of all of this, it's in the very communities that need economic development the most, those that are hurting most from coronavirus. The rioters and protesters are like a virus. They come, they injure the body, and they do as much damage as they can. And then when they've done that, if they can't kill the body, they move on and they leave the body destroyed in its wake. That's what's in the inner cities. That's the problem. Here's what else I want to know. Who's organizing and funding this? Or did those bricks that's all of a sudden suddenly show up as if there were construction sites around the corner in all of these cities? So who's organizing and funding this? I was always taught, follow the money. First, you got to find out where the money's coming from, then follow it. And then, of course, are the trumped up charges, no pun intended, as if on cue that the cause of these riots are, let's see, white supremacists, organized crime, and drug cartels. I believe that was the mayor of Minneapolis. It might have been the governor of Minnesota. I don't even know where to start with all of that. It's laughable, but it's also wrong, right? Show me proof. Show me one piece of intel, one iota of evidence that this wasn't caused by some combination of Antifa and Black Lives Matters. That's where these protests and riots started and are coming from. And then, as if on cue, of course, now we hear that the Russians did it again. That would be funny if it wasn't so serious. You understand that this is the new version of the Clinton's vast right-wing conspiracy label that they put on everything and everyone in the 90s, 92 to 2000, and even after that. They're using the same damn playbook. And I think we as a country need to wake up to that. And then, of course, then you go to the usual, which is it's Trump's fault because his rhetoric, of course, quote unquote, created the atmosphere that allowed this to happen. What a load of crap. You may like
the president. You may not like the president. I understand both sides of that argument. But the truth is that President Trump could find the cure for cancer, and they'd still find something to find wrong with him. I have never seen a president, whether you like him or not, that has taken this much incoming fire in his presidency in my lifetime. Here's the next question, though. How the hell did we get here? I mean, how did we get where the divide in this country is so severe that if we can repair it, and that's a real question, I don't know if we can or can't, if we can repair it, it will take at least a generation to do it. Well, to me, this is somewhat of a simple question, because it started with the Obama administration, who had the opportunity, remember Hope and Change, to heal some of the racial divides in this country, but they didn't resolve the racial problems when they had the chance. They exacerbated them. They made it worse. Let's be honest. During the Obama years, that's when the class warfare issues broke out into the open, with comments like "you didn't build that" and, you know, accusing half the country of clinging to their guns and their religion. It was during the Obama years that it became acceptable to openly target police and law enforcement officers. It was during the Obama years when the erosion of public trust in law enforcement really took hold. Because if you remember, it was during those years when President Obama embraced Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matters and a host of other organizations. And if race was involved in an issue during those years, it was always President Obama, always the first one to point out who was to blame for it. Always. So let's be honest about how we got here. Trump administration, I think, has done an excellent job. I don't think they're perfect. I don't think any of them are. But by contrast, the current administration was growing the economy, providing economic justice and opportunity. Where? In the minority communities. Not to mention criminal justice reform. Is it any coincidence that the vast majority, 99% of all the riots, are taking place in the liberal cities and states where there are failed policies and they clearly have no idea how to discipline or police their own communities? The increased unemployment, the us versus them mentality, and then coronavirus with their typical government overreach, which was disguised as COVID-19 protection to take away people's rights and lock them in their homes. As for the riots and the violence, I think they have selective memories. Does no one remember all the race riots during the Obama years? It started in Oakland in 2010, and then Los Angeles twice, 2010, 2012, Anaheim, 2012, and then in Brooklyn when the first officer was killed. Because before that, and it got progressively worse, right? Before that, there was vandalism and property damage, but there was never injury to officers. Started in Brooklyn, 2013. Then, of course, there was Ferguson and Berkeley. And in Baltimore, 2015, when 15 officers were injured. St. Paul, the next year, 2016, 21 officers injured. Milwaukee, 2016. And Charlotte, one person killed, 12 officers injured. And let's not forget Dallas, because that's really where this went off the rails. In July of 2016, 5 Dallas police officers were specifically targeted and assassinated. And we did nothing about it, and neither did our president. So please don't tell me that all this started under President Trump. You want to like him, like him. You don't want to like him, I get that. But this follows a pattern, and you can almost draw a straight line from the first protest through Dallas, culminating in the assassination of 5 police officers in Dallas. You want to know where this started? That's where it started. And let's at least be honest about it. You know, the other thing I'm struck by, though, is if you look up the definition of racism, the dictionary says the following. Racism is the belief that race accounts for differences in human character or ability, and that a particular race is superior to others, and discrimination or prejudice based on race. That's it. So basically what it says is putting people into boxes based on their race or their, you know, or having different rules for different races is racism. But based on that definition, who are the real racists? Look, I don't care whether you're white, you're black, you're purple, you're brown, you're pink, you're tall, you're fat, you're thin. I could care less. I care about the content of your character. Are you a good person or aren't you? It's pretty much that simple. And isn't that what we're supposed to be striving for? Isn't that what Martin Luther King said in the I Have a Dream speech that he longed for a time when his children would grow up in a country where they were judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character? When did we go away from that? To me, this feels like a religious war. It feels like we're fighting over religion. And if you don't believe my way, you're wrong and you're damned and you're going to hell. That's what it feels like to me. We hear buzzwords, racism, bigotry, hate crimes. They're not only inaccurately used, they're irresponsible and they're needlessly inflammatory. But that's the purpose, isn't it? They preach tolerance, but they're really intolerant. They will not accept any policy, any outcome, any conversation that deviates one iota from the dogma or the orthodoxy that the progressives are preaching. They speak of tolerance and diversity, but what they really mean is that they're only tolerant of others who think like they do, and their only embrace of diversity is based on non-white skin color and country of origin. So tell me again who the racists are, and where did we lose our way, America? Where? To me, and I'm old enough to remember, it feels like I'm back in 1968. That was the last time there was this much self-destructive, violent protest in the country. You remember the 60s, anti-war, anti-authority, anti-police, and anti-America. Sounds a lot like today. The only difference, there was no tune in, turn on, and drop out. Thank you, Timothy Leary. No flower power, and unfortunately, no free love. But the goal's the same. It's to overthrow our way of life. This isn't about equality for the Black community. If you believe that, there's a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you. This is about anarchy. This is about transforming America into something very different from what it has been, where our individual rights and personal responsibilities no longer matter. This is about power, and this is about a power grab. And if you don't understand that, then that explains why we're in the situation that we are. The mainstream media have to believe that this is all about angry people or that Trump is bad. Right? The truth is, what you're witnessing, it's the final chapter, hopefully, the final chapter, I believe the final chapter, in the battle for the heart and the soul of what America stands for and what it's about. That's what this is about. This, to me, is the last dying gasp of the aging hippies and secular progressives, which in the 60s we used to call communists and socialists. Thank you very much. These are people who came of age of the 60s. The angry mobs that the media is so fixated on, they're really just today's youth that are being misled, honestly, by a bunch of secular progressive globalist beatniks in their last grasp for power. This is vintage Saul Alinsky out of Rules for Radicals. And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't read that book, it's a playbook for what you're witnessing. So what we are witnessing in the streets, in front of the White House, elsewhere in the country, is directly connected to those radical protests that were first spawned by the youth of the 60s. Weather Underground, SDS, Black Panthers. Then we went during the Obama years from Occupy Wall Street to MoveOn.org to Black Lives Matter. The names may change, but the game remains the same. There were radical leftist students in the 60s. There are radical leftist groups, student groups, and others now. The difference is there was no internet, no social media to fuel the mob rule mentality in the 60s. But today it permeates everything. Wake up, America. That's the power game that's going on right now. These aren't isolated protests. There's an organization behind it. It's not a conspiracy organization. But if you think that there aren't forces that are trying to move this, that's where we need to start. We are also under no illusions. This will be a long and drawn out fight. Look, at the end of the day, there's an old expression that says, if you want a friend in politics, buy a dog. This is real politics. Capital R, small k. It's power politics. It's all about the great game. It's about power and who wields it. So to my fellow Americans who are listening, it's time to wake up and it's time to stand up. Losing our country right before our eyes is not an option. The silent majority, and I believe that there's a silent majority, the silent majority has been silent long enough. Silence means consent. We who believe America is exceptional and our freedoms and way of life is worth fighting for, most certainly do not consent, and we will no longer be silent. The phrase of the people is, of course, from Lincoln's address at Gettysburg, where he famously said that a government of the people, for the people, and by the people shall not perish from this earth. And that's our goal, is to make sure that our government and the liberties and freedoms we enjoy don't perish from the face of the earth. It embodies our most fundamental beliefs, and it is our inspiration and guiding vision. We believe that America is an exceptional country amongst the nations of the world, and that our individual freedoms and code of personal responsibility are the hallmarks and very foundation of America's culture and America's character. And honestly, it's our mission to try to educate our fellow Americans on the importance of restoring these values to the institutions that we trust. Well, honestly, the institutions that we once upon a time trusted. And what are those institutions? Academia, media, and government. Friends, thank you for downloading and listening to our maiden podcast. I hope it was informative and entertaining, and I hope mostly it was motivating. Please subscribe to Of the People to get all our latest episodes directly into your feed. Please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review so you show your support. Our goal is to reach all the red dots in the blue ponds around the country. You know who you are, and you know what I mean, and you are not alone. Please join us for our next podcast when we interview Dr. Bruce Abramson and his new book, American Restoration, about the coming of the next civil war, which maybe we can avoid. And that really may be what's behind the riots. ASIC is a nonpartisan think tank, but we're also a whole lot more. We think that most of America believes America is exceptional among the nations of the world. We think that most of America, two most essential traits that define what it is to be American and who it is to be American, is our steadfast commitment to individual rights and personal responsibility. And we think that most America believes we are one nation, but haven't felt comfortable saying so. And don't forget, we need your help. Tell your friends, download the podcast, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and go to the website, asicfund.org. Of the people, we are of the people. And since you listened to our whole podcast, so are you. This is Robert Chernin. We are ASIC, and we are of the people. Thank you for listening.